Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. I'm your host, and my name is Nicolene, and I'm here today with a very special guest, a very dear friend, and we go back quite a long time, and I'm really excited that she's here, Anne van der Kiesen. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Nicolene. Thank you for having me here. It's good to be in conversation again.
Yes, absolutely. I always love our conversations and it's so wonderful that we're recording it now so everyone else can hear it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for our listeners, Anne, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're all about.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm going to be very honest to start with. I always find this a hard conversation or hard thing to explain because it seems to evolve over time, but I'll keep it a little bit high level. Essentially, I'm a life coach, but I work with a lot of high performers, so a lot of business owners, professionals, and interestingly enough, mainly men actually. So there's something about perhaps the way I talk about the work that seems to have that resonance, and I love serving men. It's a really interesting perspective I get on the world, it helps to sort of build that understanding between men and women and the different nuances in the life that they lead. So that's how I spend most of my time and engaged in the personal development space and helping people get to know themselves a little bit better.
I love that. I think it's so important that men really get to talk about their emotions and get in touch with their true desires and their dreams. And you create a safe space for them to talk about that. And I absolutely love what you do. So tell us, and I know this, but I would love to for our listeners to know this as well. How did you get into running your own business?
Yeah, well, it was very much accidental, I have to say. So my first career was actually in finance. I used to work in financial due diligence of all things, so in the corporate financial advisory space. So I did pretty well there, but I always had this sort of invisible struggle that I went through. It's a very sort of high pressure, high performance. Interesting, that's what I'm working in now, but high performance area. There was this invisible struggle going on that I didn't know how to talk about or how to name. I sort of felt like maybe there's something wrong with me. So I just sort of kept pushing through it. And eventually I got some support from another coach, more sort of in the spiritual realm. And she helped me sort of get in touch with what I felt were really my truer gifts, my truer offering to the world, which was more in actually supporting people rather than being in the numbers and in the spreadsheets. So even though I was capable of doing the numbers and writing these lovely reports, it didn't sort of fuel me. So that was sort of a trigger for me to do a little bit of deeper exploration. The first thing that I learned actually in the personal development space formally was hypnotherapy. So that was sort of my leg out. I was on my holidays from my corporate job and I went and secretly studied hypnotherapy in London with Marissa Peer. So that was sort of the first thing. And it just opened up this whole new internal world, we'll say, for me. And I started understanding that I wasn't broken. I wasn't strange. What I was experiencing was really normal and just reflected some misalignment. So I started using this tool sort of as a side gig with my job, not in a really very commercial way, but just genuinely felt that the tool had so much power and had some incredible results with the early clients that I worked with. And so I thought I can't not pursue this. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a commercial idea. No idea on how I might pay my bills, but I thought I've just got to do it. So I did what I don't necessarily recommend people do. I just jumped into it and I thought I'll figure out the rest later, which, yeah, what are we now? That was 2019. So a little over four years later, I'm still going. So I've managed to make it work. Had to learn to be very resourceful. But yeah, so I'd like to say I'm sort of an accidental entrepreneur, but I've never looked back.
I love it. And it's so funny because whenever I speak to people on this podcast, many, many, many people of them are all accidental entrepreneurs. It just happened. It just came to them and then they just jumped and never looked back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I absolutely love that. So how did you end up in this particular area? Because I know a bit of the background story, but especially working with men, and you know their environment by experience, you know, the mm-hmm. high performance organizations and cultures. So why did you choose them and not anyone else?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. And in some ways, I feel like these things have chosen me, because when I first stepped out of corporate finance, in my own mind, the personal development space and this corporate world were very sort of detached, and I felt like I had to treat them separately. And so I was sort of spinning around and looking for all these ideas, you know, the stories about ideal client avatars and trying to work things out. And maybe I could serve women with, I don't know, issues with their cycles and help them connect to their feminine or this or that. And I had hundreds of ideas of what I could possibly do. And none of it really sort of clicked in, but I had this sort of intuitive thing that come in that it was like, maybe there's something I can offer these men, because there was a couple of men I served pretty early on as well. And I started to sort of make these connections between the world that I'd come from and the world that I was going into. It's like, what is it in my mind that's putting that disconnect and sort of deciding that those people don't need my help? So it was really interesting. It just really emerged. I started thinking, well, this relates a little bit to some of the conversations I'd have late at night when we're working on delivering these reports. And these men were going, you know, I feel guilty because my partner's at home, I'm not seeing my children, these things. And I thought, well, I can really actually help with that now. You know, I'm building these tools and these resources to be able to help these kind of men also show up more powerfully in their lives. So it's an interesting thing, right? Because we humans, we're interdependent creatures. We all need help. And mm-hmm. I definitely spent a lot of time stuck in that place of, you know, maybe I can help everyone. but I started realizing that actually, given my skills, my experience, my insights into that part of the world, I could actually add a lot more value there. And there'd also be this translation effect that it sort of ripples down, especially when you're working with leaders who have, you know, a number of people working under them. And sometimes that's a handful, sometimes it's dozens, sometimes it's hundreds, but there's a lot of sort of ripple effect that happens there. So I thought it's a nice way to also add some leverage to the work that I'm doing. So yeah, I guess it's been a little bit of a story of following the breadcrumbs, following my own intuition, my own knowing a little bit, yeah. and trusting myself to be able to support people at that level.
Yeah. You know what I absolutely love about this entire story, and I know, well, we have discussed your human design and you're a manifesting generator, and manifesting generators usually have this wide interest in many different topics, and they are multi-passionate and multi-talented, and I think in your case this is such a beautiful example that you do have the talent to do all the corporate finance stuff, but it doesn't really light you up. However, what it does is that you make sense of numbers and you translate numbers into logic and understanding. And that's basically what you do with your clients as well. You create logic and understanding and ways to process and deal with whatever happens. So it's mm-hmm. not that different from what you did, But it's just, you know, another field, and the players are different. So instead of numbers, it's people.
Yeah, I love that you offer that reflection as well, Nicolene, because it's interesting when I look back in time and think about when I was executing on these financial due diligence projects. And I would quite often have this sort of feeling of also a bit of intuition, a bit of knowing of where to look deeper and where actually it doesn't matter. And I would have these feelings, and I had a lot of trouble actually trusting them. But when you reflect the process like that, I think, well, yeah, there is a lot of sort of this manifesting generator stuff being expressed through that process itself. And it's very much transferable. And I'm very much addicted to looking at lots of different things all at once and bringing these ideas from different places and integrating them in one thing that then can be applied somewhere else. It's very much a process that's always happening inside of me.
I know by experience what that's like, because we did a hypnotherapy session in the past. I was lucky enough to experience your gifts in that sense. And you go deep, you really go deep. And that's when I look at your human design, it's so interesting as well, because you have a one in your profile. You're a 1-3 manifesting generator. And with the one in your profile, and we share that, I am a 1-3 generator, but a 1-3 nonetheless. So the ones really want to dig deep. We really want to go into, you know, the root of things and not just be happy with a symptom, but we really want to go deep. And that's what you do too with your work, and especially with the hypnotherapy work. You really go deep. You go to root causes. You don't just heal or help heal the symptoms. You really go to the root causes. And it's so beautiful knowing you a bit and knowing your work, having experienced your work. It's so beautiful to see how that plays out in your human design. And I always love watching you and observing you, because whenever I get your newsletter, well, you know this, we exchange a lot of emails
when it we comes do to
your newsletter, and it's always so spot on. So it also ticks the box of, you know, the multi-talented, multi-passionate person, because your newsletters are just amazing. So you also have the talent and the gift to express all the things that I would say live inside of us, but we may not always be able to express. And and I can imagine that your clients love you for being able to do that for them or with them as well.
Yeah. It's really interesting you mention it, actually, because I tend to also attract clients that have the same kind of characteristics as well. There's some sort of magnetism thing that goes on there, but quite often people and I was like this, and I still can get into this as well, but quite often people judge themselves for that. They think, oh, I'm not focused, I can't do deep work, or I've got too many interests, trying to do too much at once. And it's like, okay, some of those things might be a little bit true, but there is also, there's that gift that we've just spoken about. But I think it's important to acknowledge, and this is one of the principles of my work, there's always a shadow and a gift to acknowledge in everything.
Yes.
And I know the shadow for me is I have to get to a point of like an idea is complete before I'm willing to share it, especially in this personal development space. I really sit with these things and I let it sort of mull over, and I call it sort of metabolizing the ideas together, just letting them all sort of brew down until I feel really clear. And then I can express that. Yeah. And it might seem like it's easy in terms of the reader, but sometimes I think if people could witness me going through this process, they might wonder about what I'm actually doing here. But there is quite a bit of agony in it. And I think, you know, I just want to be really open about that, because I think it's important we know that, it is hard to manage inputs this way, and we're all asked to do that in everyday life, whether it's social media feeds, emails, messages, WhatsApp, people needing us in the direct environment. And it's tough. There's definitely an energy management piece there, and I think human design is a beautiful tool to help understand that and to normalize some of the agony that might feel a little uncomfortable.
Absolutely, and that's what I love about human design and how our work complements one another, because it's all about energy. And it's all about the things that light us up and that we feel joy about, and that we reconnect to that in order to move forward. So we have discussed your human design in the past. We spoke about it. And how do you use it in your daily life, or and if so, how do you use it?
Yeah, well, I think I use it more than what I might be aware of. Definitely the piece around learning to respond, that's something I've taken to heart. And I believe that's something for generators,
yes,
as well as manifesting generators. But not feeling like I need to have all of the answers up front, but sometimes do leave them open. Mm-hmm. So I said with the email process, I feel like I need this sense of completion and getting to the bottom of it, but actually realizing that I also get to make it a back and forwards thing, like it's not all on me. So sometimes that's a nice invitation just to go, okay, let me just sort of put some seeds out, some feelers out, and see what's going on. And then I can see how I can respond to that in a powerful way.
Yeah.
So that concept's been really useful for me. And also really learning to trust myself a little bit more. I've got a defined sacral chakra. So that essentially means that my inner GPS is quite strong, but the disconnect is sometimes in actually just listening to it,
yeah,
and really sort of trusting.
Yes.
And that's come at me from different directions, the human design, and also some intuitive guidance I've had that my clairsentience, the knowing.
Yeah, the claircognizance.
Oh, cognizance, yeah. Yeah. The claircognizance, I think, mirrors that also in the human design. It's not knowing what to say or what's important, what needs to come through. So yeah. I think that's part of the sacral chakra thing that I'm really learning to be more and more aware of.
Yeah.
So I think those are the main things. So the piece of my head and throat are open.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, I experience that as a lot of kind of mental energy sort of floating around at the top, and me needing to verbally process a lot of things.
Yes.
So I find that's really important to make sure I have places where I can do that, and have a way to process ideas and thoughts through thinking and voicing. That's why I love also listening to podcasts. I think it really helps feed that energy. It's one of my favorite things, walking and listening to a really sort of intellectual, interesting podcast.
Yeah.
And I find that feeds my coaching also. So definitely, I don't always think, this is my human design at work. But when I stop and look at it, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a permission slip as well.
That's it.
To go, yeah, it's okay to do this. It's part of my sort of operating system.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing that I hear a lot when I talk to people about their human design, is that they feel such a huge relief of, okay, I'm not crazy, I'm not broken, nothing needs to be fixed. I'm not unfocused, I'm just, you know, multi-passionate and multi-talented, especially for manifesting generators. Because especially when we look in the online world, there are a lot of coaches talking about niching, and you need to choose one thing, and you can only do one thing, and da da da. For manifesting generators, that's the worst thing to do, because for manifesting generators, they need this variety of things. They need the different projects, even if they don't finish them, even if they don't really work with them. It's just, you know, to burn off the energy and to keep them interested, because they are so quick. And they're easily bored in that sense. So I think that is really important. And I love how you naturally kind of follow your design on that. And another thing that you said about, you know, listening to podcasts, you have an open head and an open Ajna center. And that is all about, you know, getting inspiration and getting new ways and new concepts, new ideas. And and that's just feeding your brain and feeding your soul with new inspiration and new ideas. And then there is the one in your profile that loves to go deep And it's the three in your profile that loves to test and experiment. So it's all about, you know, gaining new knowledge, going, getting to the bottom of it, and then starting to apply it in your business or in life. And I think that's just wonderful. And I think many people can relate to that, especially when you have an open head and an open ashna. So you literally are open-minded. So you have an open mind. Nothing is weird. Nothing is crazy. You're just open to so many other ideas and concepts. And that's wonderful, especially in your work, when you meet the lone wolves, you know, the guys who are lonely at the top. They struggle sometimes with issues and elements that they cannot discuss with anyone else. And that it's just wonderful to have a trusted partner, a trusted advisor who doesn't get easily shocked by crazy ideas, who literally has the open mind. So I think in your work, it's such a great advantage that you have the open head and the open ashna.
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that actually, Nicolene, because sometimes my clients will say things to me and they say it as though that's like, oh, I'm about to drop like a big bombshell on you and it's going to be shocking. They're like bracing, waiting for me to screw up my face or something. And I'm like, okay, like, let's go with that. And it's, sometimes I've questioned myself and I've gone, am I not caring? Am I lacking some compassion or empathy or something? Because I'm not feeling shocked, you know, by this, but it's, it makes a lot of sense with the open head. And I quite often say that to clients, that there's nothing that you could bring into this space that would be shocking for me. I've either seen it or read about it or experienced it or something.
Yeah.
And like you say, just generally there's this openness of, okay, how do we process this? How do we look at this? What's important? But it's quite funny actually, just to see the back and forths of, you know, somebody anticipating me being shocked. And that's part of why these people don't have, a perception that there's a safe place, because there is that fear inside that goes, yeah, somebody's going to judge me for this. And maybe it's wrong or bad.
Absolutely. And I think especially men are bothered by society standards of, okay, this is the way a man should behave. This is a way a CEO of a company should behave. And they feel that. And then it's so wonderful to have a safe space where you can drop just anything and it's all good. And no one will be shocked or no one will be judging you. And I think that's a coach's role always, to create that safe space and not to judge, because the coach's job is to ask questions and not to judge, because there's no use for judgment at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially when you're working with some pretty fierce, you know, inner judges, inner critics, it's even more important. Because as soon as the judge comes up as the coach, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, when your own judge comes up, it comes up in the other person as well. There's this mirroring. Yeah. So it's important to be a little careful with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you work with these successful people, I mean, being the boss, the manager, the CEO, what would be your definition of success?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And I do think it's up to all of us to define our own relationship with success. But I would say, like, overall, it's really actually, for me, it's being in right relationship with what's important to you. And so bringing in things like values, roles and identity, and finding a way to get all of that to fit together. So this concept of right relationship, it's an interesting one, I think. An example I'll give is, you know, sometimes it is that, it's more common, I would say, in males, but sometimes it is that mission is actually really important to these people. And if they don't have that strong connection to mission and feel like they can show up to that without feeling guilty, then they're going to lose a lot of energy thinking, I should be home with my partner, or I should be playing with the kids more, or this or that. And maybe some of those are true, but until we get into right relationship with what's important, we can't look at that in an honest way. So I would say success is knowing that and arranging your life in a way that's sort of supportive of that, you know, of a life affirmative kind of way. And some of that, I say it very easily, but some of that is really, really tough, because it means having really big, honest conversations with people that are important to you. For example, a partner saying, no, it's really important to me that I'm actually able to give this to my mission, whether that means traveling or working late or missing important things. So I don't recommend sort of going all in on one or all in on the other, but really, yeah, I guess sifting through these things in a way that feels good and is spoken about and acknowledged and owned. I think for me, that is success. Mm-hmm. And it's not a static thing either. It's being responsive, because there's life phases and things like this which come into play. So it's a very loose definition, I know.
No, but I love it. I love it. Yeah. And it's so interesting that I ask people this question like in every episode. And many of the people I spoke about have really very different definitions of success. And none of them speaks about numbers or status or anything mm-hmm. like that. So it's I think it's really interesting. And I love these various definitions of success. So yeah, mm-hmm. thank you for that. So speaking about the tough things that you just mentioned, having the tough conversations, what were the tough moments or the struggles that you encountered on your journey to being an entrepreneur?
Oh, where to begin? I think, first of all, having to go back to what felt like zero for me after having, talking about success, a successful career as a corporate finance consultant, going into a place where I didn't know how to do anything. I mean, even setting up an online payment portal for ways to for my clients to pay me, it's like, how do I even begin with that? Building my own website, what even is marketing? How do I sell myself? How should I price? I mean, all these things I had to figure out from nothing. That was really difficult, and to be honest, it really did have a pretty significant impact on my confidence and sense of competence. Yeah. Also, it was like all of this work I put into building an image and an identity for myself and progressing up the corporate ladder quickly, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know how to do anything. And I have to ask for help, or I have to spend an entire day on Google just for one thing. So that was really difficult, because it forced me to challenge my identity of like, who do I think I am? And actually, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? So that was pretty difficult. I'd say there was a good sort of 6 to 12 months of just feeling like I wasn't really getting anywhere, even though I was, when I look at that in reality. But that was pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing that's been pretty challenging for me is allowing myself to be misunderstood by those that care about me. Had a lot of opinions and voices around me saying, oh, you're never going to make a success of that, and what are you even doing? A lot of questioning, and just sort of staying committed to my goal of, no, I've got to find a way to make this work, and it's okay that people don't get it. I've got to be comfortable with that. That's the only thing. Other people don't actually need to understand. Mm. I've got to be my own sort of result in that.
Yes.
So that was pretty tough as well. And also, as we touched on, really learning to trust myself as part of that, and to listen to my gut instinct. There's been so many times, whether it's an investment decision or taking on a client that maybe I shouldn't have, all these sort of things, I'm like, I knew that I should have done that differently, but I didn't listen to it. So I think those are kind of the main themes across time, and they keep popping up from time to time still now 4 years on. But
I can so relate to all of them, especially when you begin and you have to build something from scratch. I always tell people, when they become an entrepreneur, the learning curve is just through the roof.
Yeah.
You really have to learn so many things. And it's like, you know, becoming a multi-tasking person, because you're the person in charge of finance, of marketing, of vision, mission, and like everything.
Yeah.
And that is a very complex job.
Mm.
Of course, you know, the upside is that it's providing you with a lot of freedom of choice, and freedom to work whenever you want, freedom to work the way you want to. But still, it's a lot. So I can definitely relate to that. Then the second thing that you said about your family or friends not fully understanding you, that's a thing that I really learned the hard way, that I needed to build my own network of people around me that I can call, that I can just, you know, send them a text message like, oh, I need some support, I need some, you know, just some feedback, or just a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so important. I think it's so important. And yeah. Then the thing about trusting ourselves is, and that's where human design comes in, that you have the defined sacral center. So asking yourself the yes and no questions is definitely helpful for you to make up your mind, but also knowing that you have emotional authority. I have emotional authority too. So we need time to decide. Mm-hmm. So the best phrase that I've fully embraced now is, can I get back to you about that?
Yeah, I love that reminder. It's very timely for me, actually. It's yeah, it's an easy one to forget, but it's so important, I think, just to buy that little bit of time and let that settle in this kind of ocean of information that's kind of floating around here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, check in with the sacral center, like, okay, does it light me up? Does it bring me joy? Do I really want to do this? Is this the right person for me to work with? You know, all those yes and no questions. And your sacral center, your gut feeling, will give you the answers. So that's always the beauty of knowing your human design, knowing how to navigate it. And it's a guideline, it's not a label, it's just between air quotes, guideline, but a very powerful one. So so yeah, I love that. I love the honesty that you share, you know, the struggles, because we all have them, we can all relate to them, I think. So yeah, thank you for that. So before we wrap up this wonderful conversation, I would love to hear your best three pieces of advice that you can give our listeners.
Yeah, you warned me about this one, and I find it hard sometimes to think what are the most important things. But one thing I would say, especially as it relates to personal development, there is this whole kind of movement of pop psychology that's come up lately. And what I notice also in some of the clients that I serve is it's easy to get caught up in that and think that that's sort of the ultimate truth, the thing that you see on Instagram. Oh, that sounds like a powerful quote. Yeah, it must be true. It's easy to kind of take these things on board. But I think it's important to try and build your curiosity muscle when you're looking at these kind of things, and go, yeah, is that true for me? What would the opposite be? Could that be as true? Bit of Byron Katie's The Work kind of approach there, if people are familiar with that.
I was thinking the very same thing when you just said that.
yeah, but really challenging those things and going, well, what do I think? Because I think especially in the age of AI, I mean, you don't know what you're reading and seeing, you don't know if it's true. So it's so important for all of us, I think, to learn to think critically and see if something is actually life affirmative for us and for our relationships and our own life. So that would be one thing. The other thing in terms of sort of energy management, I think it's also a bit of a thing that people ask themselves, does this give me energy? Does it not? And I think that's a really great question to ask. And I would invite people to add another question on top of that as well, for the things that don't light us up, but we're having to do, to really have a look at that and go, is this something that actually I should let go of and not do? Or is it something that I need to change my mindset on? Because I could easily find somebody who says, well, going to work doesn't light me up, but I've got, you know, three kids at home and I need to pay the bills and keep the heating on. So probably I have to do it. But is there a way to change that have to or must to a I get to provide for my children, or I'm choosing to provide for my children in this way, something that's a little bit more self-empowering, because I think it's easy to get a little bit stuck in those sort of things. So adding another step to that energy management question, I think is a good one. And finally, I think really actually what's probably even the most important point is to invest in learning how to have relationships with people. And this has been one that's personally challenging for me as well. I've got a few what they call sort of sister wounds, friendship wounds that I've had to navigate and understand how that plays out in my life. But learning how to have deeper, more meaningful relationships with people. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to soldier on. There are ways to really keep building relationships, even relationships that are fractured. There's wonderful tools and skill sets that we can learn to mend them and make them stronger than ever. So I think investing in our interdependence rather than independence or codependence, being interdependent, like you say, building a network of people that understand you and know where you come from, but maybe also building a network of people who do think differently, but you can find some sort of common ground with. So I think, it's really probably one of the most life-affirmative things we can do is keep investing into relating, being honest with ourselves and with others, and having a healthy, strong support network around us.
I love that. Such powerful advice. I love all three of them, and I can totally relate to all of them. It's so important to start with the latter, that we really get to the bottom of ourselves as well, that we know ourselves first before we start accusing other people, or before we start looking at others like, yeah, but they always do this or that, or say this or that. So important that we know ourselves and our shadows and our wounds first before we do anything else. And of course, you know, that's a journey of a lifetime, as is human design. It's also a journey of a lifetime. It's not something that you master overnight.
Yeah.
But then again, if we would, it would be boring, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Boring.
Yeah.
So.
No, I really think that some of these relationship things can be the most powerful things we do in our lives. Even learning the art of a sincere apology and owning our behavior, like really sharing with somebody, you know what, I showed up in this way and that's not the way I wanted to show up. I really want to take ownership of that, because I can imagine that wasn't good for you, and that sort of thing. As confronting as it can feel, really for ourselves and also when we're talking to the other, it's such a relationship builder, and it opens doors for the other person to also do the same. So it's a really, really powerful one, but I think often overlooked in the personal development space, which is very individually focused for a large part. So I wanted to give a little voice to that one.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing these wonderful pearls of wisdom. And I'm sure that our listeners will be looking for you, because we will share all your details in the show notes and people will connect with you and find you. And I absolutely love that. So thank you so much for being with me today and sharing all your wonderful stories and knowledge. And we will keep in touch, and I really look forward to seeing how things will progress even further. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nicolene, and thank you for your work in the world as well. You've been a wonderful support to me personally also, so I don't think I'd be where I am without the insights that you've helped with along the way too. So very grateful.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was very happy to do it, and I still am. So yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.